Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, as we come before you, we do thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. And Father, we're so thankful for so many things, Father. You have blessed us as a nation. You've blessed us as a family and as a church, Father. And Father, the witness and the testimony we've seen this morning from the four that went into the baptismal, Father, that testimony that I pray is burning each one of our minds, Father, and not to forget to be obedient to you. And Father, I want to pray for the military this morning, Father. We have loved ones, Father, and friends that are not with us, Father, that are over into another country, Father. We pray they're not in harm's way, but Father, we do know that you are in charge, Father, and that you are right there with them. We stand on that promise today, Lord. And Father, I pray for each one of us that's here, Father, that we will just look to you, Father, for the answers, because without you, we're absolutely nothing. And Father, I thank you for our pastor, and I pray, Father, as he preaches your holy word this morning, Father, that you will just empower him from on high. Father, just take control of him, Father. Use him as you've never used him before. We thank you for our Sunday school teachers, and we pray for all that pour into the children, Father. We praise you for what you've done at Hearts on Fire. Father, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, J.D. May just let you know, if you hadn't already discovered that we had our Kenwood connection here helping us out in worship today. Ariel and Anna Grace came over to help us. Thank y'all. Y'all, that wouldn't swell her head much with a response like that. Give God praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you for these musicians. Glory to God. Next Sunday, you're going to be hearing a Christmas concert from the Kellys at 9 o'clock. They're going to be singing Christmas music. You can get your Christmas beat on next Sunday. 9 a.m., y'all be here. It's going to be there they are right there. And they're going to be singing just Christmas music. It's going to get us in the atmosphere of Christmas. So I hope y'all will be here for that next Sunday. We'll turn the whole service over to them. It ought to be really good. I want to talk to you this morning about the truth concerning Christ and the cross. We're returning to our sermon series, Truth Concerning Error. And you remember we looked at truth concerning creation. We looked at truth concerning corruption from the fall of man, and then we looked at truth concerning catastrophe, the flood, and then we looked at truth concerning confusion, the Tower of Babel. This morning, I want to talk for just a few minutes about the truth concerning Christ and the cross. When God created everything, what did he say? It? Yes, it is good. It was good. There was no death, deceit, disease, decay, no, just none of that stuff in the garden. But all of us know the story. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, and they had dominion over creation and the animals, but Adam and Eve placed human opinion over the authority of God's word, and God's creation fell under the curse. And because Adam and Eve are our first parents, we're all born with a sin nature. I know that's not something amen you wanted to come looking forward to hearing this morning, but that's the truth. And but what you may not understand is that even before the foundation of the world, God began to put a rescue package in place, a restoration, if you will. And in Genesis 3:21, it says this: "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." This was the very first blood sacrifice and was a picture of what was to come in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who would come and take away the sins of the world. God made that promise. Now let's all stand as we honor God's word. You see, the gospel, we've looked at this several times in Genesis 3:15. This is the promise of a Savior. Genesis 3:15, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking here to Satan. And between your seed and her seed. And he, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, shall bruise your head. And you shall bruise his heel. And the Old Testament predicts a Savior. And the New Testament presents a Savior. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I ask you, bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word for our lives today. Help us to receive truth and live by it. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said,
amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Now, if you know where Isaiah, the book of Isaiah is, hopefully many of you do, because Billy spent weeks in Isaiah. So we're going to go to a Christmas passage concerning the truth about Christ and the cross. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 9. So if you'd be finding that, and we're going to see how this promise, this prediction of a coming Jewish Messiah and a Gentile Savior, this rescue package that was coming for creation, this restoration process, we're going to see how all of that was worked out in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in Isaiah chapter 9 and you have actually found verse 6, say amen.
Amen.
I never know who's reading their Bible or who's on the screen up here. Here's the first truth I want us to wrap our heads around. When Jesus came, can you imagine how gorgeous, how glorious, how beautiful heaven must be? Think about that. Splendor. The New Testament writers, they had trouble describing how glorious heaven was. I mean, it's an amazing thing, the splendor, the majesty, the colors, the sounds, the sights of heaven. And Jesus left all of that. Why? To become a human being, to become a man. Look at this. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born." Now, what you need to know is Isaiah is writing 700 years before the birth of Christ. This is a great prediction. This is a great promise. And this promised Savior would be everything people needed in order to have a relationship with God. Look at your neighbor and tell them Jesus is who you need. And it was necessary for Christ to come in the way he came. And it was imperative for him to do what he was sent here to do. And I just want to go on. There's never been anyone like Jesus. Never been anyone like Jesus. And never will be. For unto us a child is given. Now, Isaiah predicted that this coming king would be the Jewish Messiah and the Gentile Savior. But he would come, he would leave heaven and come to earth as a baby. How many of y'all love to cradle a baby? Oh, come on, there's more than six of you. Babies are so cool, aren't they? They smell so good. And you know, they coo and they woo and they, well, I was going to say poo, but you better not say that. But Jesus was a baby. He really was. And he was born. You could touch him, you could feel him, you could see him, you could hear him. He had to be fed and nourished like every other baby. And he ate, drank, and breathed like any other human being when he began to grow. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so that first Christmas, when everyone saw this baby boy that was born to Mary and Joseph, everybody began to exclaim, "Who is this Jesus?" And by the way, Folks are still asking that question today. Jesus became a man. He became a human being. Now, I'll say more about this in just a minute. He wasn't just a man, but he was fully man and he was fully God. I'll talk about that here in just a minute. So why did Jesus have to be born a human being? Unto us a child is given. Why did he have to do that? Several reasons. Do you know what Romans 6 and verse 23 says? The wages of sin is death. A sinless man had to pay the penalty for sinful mankind. And so someone had to come and live as a human being and not give in to this sin issue. He had to live a perfect. There's two ways to get to heaven. One is Jesus, and the other is you got to be perfect. And as far as I know, the only one that's ever been perfect is Jesus. Amen? And so he had to become a man to pay the penalty for our sin. He became a man so that he could keep the law. No one's ever been able to live up to the commandments and the standards of Almighty God except Jesus, because he was fully man and fully God. He became a man to free us from sin. This year, we've been talking about freedom. What's the theme for this year? Getting free in 23. And I asked Tuesday night at our Thanksgiving. So, by the way, we had a Holy Ghost gully washer up in here on Tuesday night. Wasn't it good, y'all? Wasn't it good, y'all? And so one of the things that we got to talking about is how did he live up to God's standard? Well, he's fully God and he's fully man. And somebody had to live up to the law, and that someone was Jesus. And he became a man to free us from sin. That's what I wanted to get to. And I asked Tuesday night, I said, how many of you all have been set free from something? Of course, we had a little bit of Baptist lockjaw on Tuesday night. But I know since January, God has set many of our second milers free from things. There's one back there. Amen. It's okay to get excited in church, y'all. As a matter of fact, if you can't get excited for Jesus, you got something wrong. And so he came to set us free from sin. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45 says that the first Adam became a human being, a living being. But the second Adam, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. Jesus will give you what you need. And he also became a man to intercede for us. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for them. Now, intercession is a big Bible word, but it simply means praying for others. Jesus is interceding right now on your behalf. Oh, I'm just so beat up. You just wouldn't believe what's going on with me. And we've got this Eeyore spirit. But you know, how can you lose if Jesus is praying for you? Hello? How can we lose if Jesus is praying for us? And so one of the reasons he became a man was to intercede on our behalf. And as he prays for us, man, he understands us. He sympathizes with us. He's able to help us in temptation. Next time you get under temptation, just talk to Jesus. He can help you with that stuff. Amen? And so he came to become a man in order to intercede on our behalf. And 1 Timothy 2:5 says that there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. He is the great high priest. He represents us to the Father. Aren't you thankful that we have someone like Jesus? And so all of these things, all of these reasons were in order for us to get what we needed, in order for us to receive this rescue package. He had to come here as a man. And he actually walked the face of this earth. I mean, he was a living, breathing, high-stepping, fast-walking. I mean, he was a human being. He became a man for our sakes, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Somebody give God praise today. Now, look at the latter part of verse 6. Jesus not only became a man, he's always been God. Somebody shout. When I say somebody shout, we Baptists don't really know what to do. Somebody shout. Unto us a son, capital S-O-N, is given. And so Jesus became a man, but he's always been God. I don't care what the two guys in white shirts and black ties on bicycles will tell you. Jesus has always been God. Amen? Never been a time when he was not God. He is God. He always will be God. He is co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Somebody shout! Amen. So Jesus has always been God. Now, when he became a man, there was a prophecy just a page over at Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Look at this prophetic word. Now remember, this is all 700 years before Christ was born. How did Isaiah know all that? The Spirit of God. And by the way, the Spirit of God has not changed. If you'd just listen to him, you'd get a word from him. Right? Are y'all with me this morning? Too much turkey this week. Mercy. We're up from the dinner table now. We're here to worship the King of Kings. All right. Listen to this. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself, Adonai, will give you a sign. Can I just share something silly with you? I was watching Jeff Foxworthy and Bill, whatever his name is, here's your sign, you know. And I listened to that the other night, and I about fell out on the floor two or three times. But God gave us a sign, and here it is. Did you catch it? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? Very good, God with us. And so, I don't completely understand it, but the miracle was not the virgin birth. The miracle was the conception. Yeah, Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus. But the big deal was that the Holy Spirit of God moved on her womb and she became pregnant. I've had a couple of folks tell me kind of the same thing. There's only one immaculate conception. Amen? Only one. And so the Holy Spirit moved on the virgin womb of Mary, and the Lord Jesus was conceived supernaturally. I don't understand all that, but I believe all that. Because if the Word of God says it, you can take it to the bank. And so he was the heavenly child of an earthly mother. He was the earthly child of the heavenly Father. Y'all with me so far? He's always been God. He became a man. Why? Number one, he was God for the purpose of atonement. Now that's a big Bible word that literally means because he was God, he could pay for our sins. And by the way, we've got a debt we can't pay off, can't pay down on. But hallelujah for the blood of Jesus. He satisfies God's wrath for our sin. He was God for the purpose of living a sinless life. We're short of the glory of God, but he's not. You see, all this stuff fits together. If there's no virgin birth, there's no sinless life. And if there's no sinless life, there's no atoning sacrifice for our sin. And if there's no forgiveness of our sin, there's no hope. And if there's no hope, hello? You see how all this fits together? And so thank God that he's fully man and he's fully God. He came for the purpose of living a sinless life. He had to be God in order to overcome the problem of sin, death, hell, and the grave. As a man, Jesus was part of creation. But as God, he is the creator. As a man, Jesus wept. But as God, he'll wipe away every tear. As a man, Jesus grew thirsty. But as God, he is the living water. As a man, the Lord Jesus grew hungry. But as God, he is the bread of life. As a man, the Lord Jesus died. But as God, what did he do? He got up from the grave. Up from the grave he arose. A mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Woo, glory. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now, I want us to go back. Well, not yet. In Luke 3, turn with me to Luke 3. I want you to see the genealogy of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 3, you can trace the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam. Hello? Isn't that amazing? The Word of God is right here in front of us in Luke chapter 3. Now, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, as was supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mattat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janna, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattatiah, the son of Amos, the son of Nah. I'm not going to read all through that, but look down at the bottom. The son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. From Adam, from Jesus all the way down to Adam. He became a man, but he's always been God. Now look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram. And so you could go on and on and on. And then all the way down through verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. And so Matthew, in his Jewishness of his book, starts with Abraham and moves all the way to Jesus. Why all this about genealogies? Because, brothers and sisters, Jesus is who he said he was. And he did what he came here to do, to rescue us and to restore us. You see, you got a problem you can't whip. I can't whip it. We've been trying to get over it, around it, under it, through it, ever since Adam. We're all born into sin. We have a sin nature. And you can't do anything about it. But Jesus did. Hallelujah. And so 6,000 years ago, in Genesis 3:15, God predicted that through the seed of Eve, the seed of a woman, God would send someone to take care of our greatest problem. Hallelujah. So, on the cross, Jesus defeated sin. And in the tomb, Jesus defeated death. On the cross, Satan bruised his heel, but in the graves, Jesus crushed his head. What Adam lost, Jesus restored. Now, I've said all of that to say this morning. I want you to go with me to Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 10. Now watch this. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the Savior Jesus, the Lord Jesus. There's a difference between lordship and salvation. Once you're saved, He's the Lord of your life. He's the boss. He calls all the shots. Okay? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what the Word of God says. And so if you're here this morning, if you would be willing to confess, and that word there means to say the same thing as a biblical confession, when that was said and took place, it meant something real solid, that you were placing everything that you are into everything that you were confessing. And that someone is Jesus. Now, watch this. Look at verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon His name. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's our big issue. We need to be saved from our sin. And the Bible says if you'd be willing to turn your life, there's a big Bible word there. It's called repentance, and it means godly sorrow. It means being so sorry for your sin that you turn from that lifestyle and you turn to Christ as your only means of salvation. You with me now? Well, how do I do that? He just said by calling on His name. Do you remember the thief on the cross? What did he say? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You see, God's looking at this right here. And if this lines up with this, He'll come into your heart and life and become your Lord and Savior. And somebody here needs to hear that. What about you, my friend? Have you been truly born again? Has God changed your life? Have you been saved from your sin? Have you received Him as your Lord and Savior? Can I just be real with you? Brothers and sisters, I want everybody to have what I've got. And I've got abundant life. Believe it or not, my life is overflowing. It's supernatural. It's not because I'm somebody special. It's because He said I could have abundant life. And so when I got saved, He came to take up residence in my life. And He leads me and He guides me and He talks with me and He walks with me and He says, do this, do that, go over here. I mean, He's the Lord of my life. And He gives me peace that passes all understanding. Man, I've had some tough things happen to me. And yet I have the peace of Almighty God. Do you have all this? I believe some of you are here today and you're not experiencing everything God wants you to experience. Well, the Christian life is a life of faith, and it begins with Jesus. And He'll take you where you are and take you where He wants you to be. And you'll become. Here's what I believe about predestination. When you got saved, God predestined that you would become like His Son. That's what He's doing in my life. Aren't you? You do know He's not finished with me yet, right? Hallelujah. So let's just allow the Lord to have His way here today, could we? Just bow your head. Nobody looking around. I want to lead you in a prayer. Nobody looking around. If you want what we've been talking about, and you're under conviction about the sin in your life. I was so blessed to hear the teenagers' testimonies. If you'd be willing today to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. My sins have separated me from you. But Father, I believe in this rescue package called Jesus. And I want to surrender my heart and life to Him. Oh, Father, would you allow the person of the Lord Jesus and the person of the Holy Spirit to come into my life and change me, give me a new heart. Oh, God, I'm calling on you to save me here today, right now. Right now. Save me. If you prayed that prayer, the prayer didn't save you. God's looking at the condition of your heart. Those words, He's looking at your heart. If you really meant what you said today, the Spirit of Almighty God come to take up residence in your life. He's there. And you need to, by faith, walk in that Christian newfound faith. And the first step is being baptized. Not for your salvation, but the fact that you now belong to Him. And I'm going to ask you in just a minute, if you prayed that way, to come forward. We want to get some information from you. And we're going to put some stuff in your hands that'll get you started right in your new life with Christ. But you've got to come. If you prayed that way, don't let the devil have victory this morning. And those of you that are saved, man, I heard Sarah's song on the radio this morning coming in. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus this week. Father, I pray as best I know how for everyone here. And those that have prayed to receive Christ, I pray you give them the courage to step out for you. Would you do that right now, Father? Give them the courage to just come and say, I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I prayed and asked God to save me today. I surrendered my life to Jesus today. Would you just step out and come right now? Let's all stand. You just come. Maybe there's a lost person in your family. You need to pray for them. Anna Grace is going.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.